Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Good morning to you. You know, my okra took a beating. My okra took a beating, but the rest of the yard came through just fine. Just fine. Okra's a little leaned over, but I trimmed it back. It'll do fine. We'll talk about your okra this morning. We'll talk about other things that might have happened in your yard after this mild tropical storm. It's kind of a nice thing to have happen to us. A mild tropical storm coming up makes the landscape, as I like to say, less naive. It gets a little hint of what we mean by tropical storm. The trees kind of get a little hint. You know, maybe it's a good thing for us, these little tropical storms that come up. This big storm that's out in the middle of the Atlantic, probably not a good thing for the Atlantic coast. We'll talk more about Hurricane Summer as the morning goes on. But, you know, I woke up this morning, and I'm thinking, and I'm seeing the sun come up. I'm sort of, you know, I got one eye half open, and I'm sort of looking out the window, and I'm seeing the sun sort of come up, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, that also Sprach Zarathustra. You know, you got the sun coming up, the dum-dum, right? This big thing. And I'm thinking, wait, that's the wrong music altogether. Because the sun ain't rising. And I'm getting a little queasy in the morning. I'm telling you, I'm looking out my eye, and I'm looking at that sun, and I'm thinking, you know, the sun's not rising. And I'm suddenly thinking, you know, the sun has never risen. The sun has never risen. It's never fallen. It's just stuck there in the same old place. Isn't that interesting? It's just stuck there. What's going on? It's this planet. And suddenly I'm realizing it's the mechanics of the planet that I'm seeing going on outside my window. It's not just the morning appearing, which is the result of this weird planet that keeps pirouetting around. Just these little pirouettes, morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. It's also this weird thing that this wobble, this wobbly old planet of ours, it's just crazy. And I'm thinking, you know, look, what time is it this morning? Because the sun didn't come up at before 6, it came up, it's almost 6:30. It's this crazy little wobble. It's just a little wobble of the planet. Isn't that weird? It's not something dramatic. It's just this little wobble. So the planet's just tilting just a little bit in the wrong direction, away from the sun. Just a little tilt. That's all it takes. And boom, the seasons change. Boom, the days get shorter. The nights get longer. Just this little teeny tiny wobble. It's all these weird mechanics, and I'm waking up this morning, I'm looking out the window, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is all pretty fragile. It's just this little bitty thing. The sun didn't rise. Sun sat there. It's just this little tilt of the planet. It's this little turnaround in the planet that's causing all this stuff outside my window. I'm thinking about all that. Just the little things that this planet does and how big a difference they make. Just little teeny tiny turns of the screw. And it makes all the difference. Well, that's what I thought getting up. Maybe kind of queasy to my stomach, and I'm wondering, what does that mean? I don't know what that means, except that sometimes I think I got this morning. I looked at the August weather, the August climate report from Mobile. Just like to look at it before the show, kind of get a sense of what the month was like. You know, and once again, I saw this thing in Mobile and Pensacola that I've been seeing over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, for months, it's the same thing every month. So what was happening in August was, you know, the daytime temperatures were actually a little bit below normal for the month of August. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what you thought it was like. But on average, the daytime temperatures in August were not that high. They're not even as high as they normally would be. And yet, in Alabama and Mobile and in Pensacola, the overall temperatures were considerably higher than they normally would be. Wait, what's going on? Those little things, these little turns of the screw. And I'm looking, and there's the low temperatures for August. And the low temperatures for August in Pensacola and in Mobile. And you know what I saw on the low temperatures? Every night, almost every night, the low temperatures were above normal. Now, here's what that means. Ooh, there's something going on there. And this has been happening over and over and over again for months. It means our nights are getting warmer. It means they're not cooling off. You know, there are people for whom they will never appreciate the significance of that. But you're a gardener, maybe. I suspect you are. You're probably listening because you are. And if you don't understand that little turn of the screw and what it's going to mean to your garden, because if night temperatures don't get below 75 degrees, and increasingly they're not getting below 75 degrees through much of the summer, it's going to be harder and harder and harder for you to grow a wide variety of plants because they can't tolerate those high night temperatures, the thing we never think about. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not just that the sun doesn't rise like we think it does. It's that that climate doesn't always operate in the way we think it does. It operates in these quiet little subtle ways, and it's beginning to change on us. It's beginning to change in dramatic ways that are going to affect us. And yet, because we don't look at it in the right way, we sometimes don't see it. And it's going to affect your garden. Somebody asked me, well, is climate changing? And I said, yep, it is. You know, I'm just going to tell you it is. The records are there. It's not so much in the daytime temperatures. It's in the nighttime temperatures. And they're pretty clear across North America. Pretty clear, unfortunately, in Mobile. I kind of hoped it wouldn't happen. But it's happening. It's happening more and more across Alabama. It's happening more and more across the South and across the United States. It's something we're going to have to think about, something we're going to have to be prepared for. I don't know what those low night temperatures are going to mean for a lot of other things. Those high night temperatures that we have at night, I'm sorry, but I know it's going to have an effect on your garden, and it's something we're going to have to think more and more about. We're going to talk a little bit about that today and how that affects your plants and how to take advantage of it. We're also going to talk a little bit about the fact that, indeed, the planet is wobbling just like it always has. Thank goodness for that little wobble. Because the seasons are changing. Day length is changing dramatically now because of that little wobble. And the temperature is going to change, and we're going to enter. We're moving through this transitional season. We call it hurricane summer. But it's a season of transitions. It's one of the great seasons of gardening and planting along the Gulf Coast. As I always like to say, it's the season of wildflowers and butterflies. They rise to meet each other. On this great stretch of coast, it's just a great time to. It's a great time to be out in the woods. It's a great time to be in the garden. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about what to do in your yard. We're going to continue this discussion about trees. Some of you were with us last week. We talked a little bit about what's happening to some of our trees, how they're beginning to fall over. And why that's happening, it's a discussion we're going to have a lot of. And if you heard that discussion last week and you've got some questions about what's going on, you feel free to give us a call this morning. You know, a bunch of live oaks, one of our special trees, a bunch of live oaks have been falling around town. Particularly, I noticed in Oakley, in my neighborhood, we've had about five or six in about the past month. It's really quite remarkable, really dramatic. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what to plant because it's the planting time, folks. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
Along about 1825, I left Tennessee very much alive. And I never would have got through the Arkansas mud if I hadn't been riding that Tennessee stud. I had some trouble with my sweetheart's paw, and one of her brothers was a bad outlaw. I sent her a letter by my Uncle Foot, then I rode away on the Tennessee stud. The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood, and there never was a horse like the Tennessee stud.
Wind and rainstorms from tropical weather systems like Gordon can damage your roof. Don't wait. Call Mobile Roofing now, 251-888-0301. Gulf storms like Gordon can damage your residential or commercial roof, and you need local roofer Mobile Roofing to physically inspect it. Mobile Roofing has trained, experienced personnel who can identify wind and rain damage. Mobile Roofing will inspect your roof for free and provide you a complete pre-report so you'll have the information to make the right decision. Don't wait. Call Mobile Roofing right now, 251-888-0301.
This is Ronan McSherry from McSherry's Irish Pub and Restaurant in downtown Fairhope, where you can enjoy great food at a great price, meet your mates for a pint and a chat, or dance the night away with our DJ on Friday and Saturday nights starting at 10. Try our brilliant Blarney Burger, unforgettable Irish potato salad, homemade bread pudding, or it is said the best Reuben sandwich this side of the River Shannon. We open at 3 p.m. and close at 2 a.m. Non-smoking inside, but we have a lovely patio with big screen TVs where you can enjoy all the sporting events. Every Sunday at 6 in the evening, we have a traditional Irish music session which attracts musicians from New Orleans to Seaside, Florida. Happy hour is 3 to 6 daily, so be sure to check out our website at www.mcsharries.com for specials. Come on down for a wee taste of Ireland at McSharries Irish Pub in Fairhope, Alabama. You can't miss us. We're the ones with the big leprechaun over the door. 101 North Bancroft Street on the Eastern Shore. 990-5100. McSharries Irish Pub.
You've been through a lot lately, an unforgiving economy that's impacted you both financially and emotionally. At UBS, we understand how you feel. UBS financial advisor Drew Wing can tap into the global resources of UBS and advise you on how to invest in the market while protecting your principal with FDIC insurance. And while Drew has a unique global perspective, he also has a local presence right here in Mobile. You can count on Drew to give you the face-to-face attention you deserve, answer your questions, provide clear direction, and offer advice that's relevant and trustworthy. Global perspective, local presence, protection. Call UBS financial advisor Drew Wing at 251-510-0748. Advice you can trust starts with a conversation. So call 251-510-0748 today. $200,000 minimum account balance. UBS Financial Services, member SIPC.
It's the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studio Saturday mornings at 8. Brought to you in part by the Michigan Group, Mitchell Holmes, and Premier Motorsports.
Hi, this is Coach Rick Cleveland. Join me, Mark Laster, and Corey LeBounty on Prep Sports Report 52 weeks a year as we discuss topics of interest, including interviews with players, coaches, and administrators.
It's the Prep Sports Report Saturday mornings at 8 on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Rain, rain on my face.
Welcome. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. A lot of things to talk about this morning. Jim in Georgetown has sent me a beautiful picture. Jim, what a great picture. And we're going to try to get it posted of this really incredible dome of a rainbow over 158. Just a beautiful picture there. Beautiful picture there. Taxman is getting very excited, and he's got a very good reason because he's out picking persimmons. Oh, boy. I had a bunch of persimmons. I'm getting tons of persimmons too, Taxman, and they are awful good. I'm eating them. Here's an interesting thing. Taxman. I took this to a little do last night, and some people just said, "Man, this is incredible. What'd you do to these persimmons? There's got to be something else in them." I said, "No, they're just like this coming off the tree." And then there's another group of people who just kind of let them sit there. They're afraid because persimmons don't look like the things you get in the grocery store sometimes. But boy, are they good. Boy, are they good. How do we get, Taxman, how do we get people over that that sort of initial fear? How do we get them over that initial fear? It's also collard planting time, and you're absolutely right, Taxman. I have got my collards are planted. I've got to get my kales. I'm going to start my kales this week. Maybe I could have started them earlier. I do tend to start my kale a little bit later because it grows fast. Start my mustards a little bit later because they grow fast. I'm starting them in containers still. I am going to put my radishes in the ground. Listen, folks, get some radish seed. Get some really spicy radish seeds. Get some of the bigger radish seeds. Plant them in the ground. They're so easy. They're so much fun. They're so delicious. If you can find watermelon radish or green radish or some of the daikon radishes that are gigantic or some of the German beer radishes, they're all absolutely delicious. They're all wonderful. They do very well here in fall. Sow them directly in the ground. You're not going to find plants for those anywhere. Just sow them directly in the ground. It's getting very late for your broccoli. If you're going to sow it, I think this is really the last practical weekend for sowing broccoli because, well, maybe there's some advantages to sowing a little later, but not many. You need to get that broccoli sown. You need to get it sown as quickly as possible if you want to enjoy the broccoli in November, December, January, February, March, April, May. There you go. A little bit of a roundup. Some more things to talk about. But, Rose, thank you for holding on. What's up?
Hey, Bill. My longleaf pine that I grew from a little seedling was taller than I was. And then after Gordon, it was deviated to about 70 degrees instead of straight up at 90 degrees. And I sent you a picture.
You did.
Then we took a cord and staked it straight again. But I wondered, is it going to live, and is it going to grow straight up on its own?
Can I ask you, Rose, I'm so glad you sent that picture and asked this question because it's very important. Can I ask you a quick question about your particular tree? Did you, when you planted it, did it have a trunk on it at all, or was it just a little tuft of grass?
It was just a little tuft of grass.
Perfect. Your tree is going to do just fine. But the first thing you need to do is remove that cord and the stake. The tree is going to figure itself out. There's this thing, and we'll call it phototropism, which means basically I'm following the path of the light. And that trees are very, very phototropic. They are going to follow the sun. And that means they're going to straighten up. And longleaf are famous for straightening up. It's going to be just fine. In 10 years, you probably won't even notice that that tree deviated just a little bit. In fact, by next summer, it may have virtually straightened itself up. If you put a cord around it, however, you begin to affect the way the tree grows in some pretty damaging ways, and there's a lot of dangers to that cord. You also stress the tree in some pretty bad ways. Let the tree find its own way; it's going to be just fine. And this is a word I would offer to anybody who has a tree that is deviated as a result of the hurricane. If it's kind of twisted around, don't try to prop it up. And let me say this, and Chris Francis will weigh in. If you try to, so I'm a little more practical about it. Chris might say, Chris Francis, and I'm going to guess what Chris Francis would say. Chris would say, well, maybe we can stake it up and we can lever it up and we can, if we do this over many years, and I'm basically going to say, look, you can do some pretty clever things, but in general, it takes more than just one stake. It takes a lot of effort to get it to straighten up. And the tree, most trees that are healthy and that you can depend on are going to straighten themselves up. If the tree doesn't straighten up, you don't want that tree. Because that means the roots are probably in a bad situation, and it's beginning to fall over. But let me say, Rose, your longleaf is going to be just fine.
Wonderful. Now, do I fill in the dirt where it kind of got, there's a little hole beside it where it pushed it over?
Well, I think it'll be okay. Let's let it
leave it alone.
Let's let it find its own way. Is your yard fairly wet?
No.
Okay, good. It probably has a very deep taproot already, which is typical of longleaf. That's going to help to stabilize it. So it's not going to lean over. As long as you don't have a serious hard pan in your yard or anything like that, it is going to do just fine.
Because that's good news. Thank you.
You're welcome, Rose. Hey, folks, did you hear what I'm saying about? If you've got a tree and it's leaning over, let's talk about it. Species by species is kind of a good way to look at it. But most young trees are going to do just fine. They're going to straighten themselves up just fine. Don't worry about those young trees. Don't try to. If we stake them up, we're going to have to be very careful about it. If it requires staking, I worry about the health of that tree in the long term. If it's a small tree and you pull it back up and you stake it and it falls over later because of that, well, that's okay. It's not going to damage anything. But if you do that to a big tree like an oak that has fallen, that is tilted over, and you try to lean it back up and redo those roots, or like a maple, which is typical of maples to be ripped out of the ground like that, that tree is going to be a big problem in the future. So be very careful about that. One thing to think about. Jason, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, I sent you a picture of a weed that I have in my yard, and I just can't seem to identify it. I've got two weeds in my yard. I finally identified one as nutsedge, but this other one is kind of fleshy, and I don't know what it is. I can't seem to identify it. I was hoping you might could.
Yeah, I'm thinking without a flower, I'm going to guess it's possibly doveweed. Which is a weed in the it's a tropical weed in the Tradescantia family that's beginning to come into yards. Doveweed is the common name for it, and I can't even remember the Latin name right now. If I
it
had
does
the
flower seed pods kind of on the top, it'll be a clump of four or five like brown seeds on the top. I haven't seen a flower.
Yeah, I'll have to look at it a little closer. Sometimes it's hard to tell just by vegetation alone.
Right.
But it looks like doveweed for the time being. I would love to see, if you can show me those seed pods, I might be able to tell you a little bit, I might be able to give you a more firm diagnosis. So
okay.
It
pulls up easily. It's kind of carpety. It pulls up really easy, and I've just kind of been mechanically handling it, but I didn't know if there was something that could just take care of for me.
Yeah, you know, it's very hard to design. I have not seen a herbicide specifically designed for doveweed. It's kind of a new weed pest coming in. It doesn't seem to be a huge problem in a lot of places. But
yeah.
Jason, send me if you can find a picture of those seeds, send them to me, and let me see if I can't make a positive identification on that. Meanwhile, I'm gonna look up the Latin name. Not that it matters to anybody but me, but I'm pretty sure that's doveweed. And Tony,
okay.
I know we talked about Tony on Fowl River. I think we were talking about that last year on his property, and I'm seeing a mixture of that and some other things. But we'll come back here. I got to take a break, but we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This information update brought to you by Truett Insurance and Bonding in Daphne. When you need home, auto, or business insurance, do it with Truett. Call 625-2600 or visit our website, truettinsurance.com. Do it with Truett.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, skies will be partly cloudy across the Gulf Coast today. Look for scattered thunderstorms with temperatures in the upper 80s. Tonight, a few thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. And for Monday, mostly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms and highs in the mid-80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
We all know someone who believes their plants are more than, well, just plants. They feed, water them, they talk to them, even name them.
Perk up, Fred. Fred, wake up.
People who love their plants just seem to get a certain something from helping them grow. Non-plant people don't really understand, but Cecil Christenberry and all the folks at Old Time Feed in Fairhope understand your plants and your lawn and have the expertise you need to keep your plants thriving. Old Time Feed has been in the nursery, feed, and seed business since man landed on the moon. So buy the highest quality plants and get the best advice to make sure you start off with healthy specimens that will brighten up your home and your yard that will thrive in our coastal climate from Old Time Feed. For homeowners, contractors, and yeah, even supplies for home chicken coops, Old Time Feed in Fairhope at Highway 98 and Greeno Road.
This is Chris Francis, board certified master arborist at Chris Francis Tree Care. Trees are such a valuable part of your property. Want to know how to keep pest problems away from your trees? Start by keeping them healthy, making sure they're growing in a favorable environment, providing the proper nutrients, and maintaining the appropriate pH. Meanwhile, certain pests attack perfectly healthy plants. Timely applications of oils, soaps, insecticides, fungicides, and fertilizers will significantly improve survivability. But the key is having knowledgeable experts making regular site visits to catch or prevent problems before they occur, all while protecting the pollinators and beneficials. Does this sound overwhelming? Let our plant health care professionals do it for you. Call 4TREE, that's F-O-R-T-R-E-E, Chris Francis Tree Care. Online, chrisfrancistreecare.com, or find us on Facebook. Or call 367-8733, 251-4TREE.
Contests on FM Talk 106.5 are open to persons 18 years of age or older. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Void where prohibited by law. Unless otherwise stated, all prizes must be claimed in person at FM Talk 106.5 studios during regular business hours. All prizes must be claimed within 14 days of winning. No substitution is permitted, and for all prizes with a value over $600, winners must complete a prize claim form. Present a valid Social Security number and will be issued an IRS Form 1099 for the fair market value. Winners are responsible for all applicable title and registration fees and any state, local, and federal taxes. FM Talk 106.5 WAVH, their employees, owners, and agents are not responsible for liabilities arising directly or indirectly from the award or use of the prize. Bigler Broadcasting reserves the right to revise these rules at any time. For a complete copy of the FM Talk 106.5 official contest rules, visit us during regular business hours. 900 Western America Circle, Suite 106, Mobile. Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, there it is. So, hey, let's go back to this this thing called doveweed. You know, one of the problems is, and I hesitate to use words like doveweed, except I briefly forgot the Latin name. Not that you care. But with names like doveweed, there are a bunch of weeds that are called doveweed. But this is the one that we're seeing invading our lawn now. It's Murdania nudiflora. And it's got little blue flowers. You'll notice those little blue flowers at times. Otherwise, it can look very grass-like, except that the leaves are a little more succulent than grass. It also has the little brown round seed heads, if I remember correctly. Murdania, doveweed. It's showing up in lawns, and so here's you know, it's the classic problem. They're really, herbicides are always an issue because your grass is always very sensitive to these things. Herbicides really, the herbicides that we use almost always affect all plants. It's just a matter of some plants, if you apply it at certain rates, it won't affect your grass as much as it does your weeds. So you have to be very, very careful in applying these things. Atrazine, which is one of the most damaging of all herbicides that we're using now, there are a lot of issues with its use. In terms of we know that it has a lot of effect on humans and on wildlife. It's not one of the safest herbicides. It also has a really bad habit of killing St. Augustine and even centipede during hot weather. atrazine, it might affect the doveweed. It's also going to affect your St. Augustine. So it's very hard. There are some other types of herbicides that may affect the doveweed, but they have to be applied very carefully too. And sometimes they have to be applied in combination with other herbicides, which can make it a scientific experiment. It's really difficult. Celsius is one of those that people are using now, but Celsius, Greg, did you do the math on that the other day? It was some unbelievable quantity, but this little bottle, it was just a little bitty bottle. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, it's not even the size of a little half pint of milk that we used to drink in the cafeteria. It's not even that size. It's something like, what was it, $150? It's very expensive, very hard to apply correctly. You've got to have really good equipment to do it. And so, you know, it's better when you've got things like doveweed, just practically speaking, to think about how do I work to make sure that this doveweed doesn't take over. If you've got centipede, it's going to be hard. I'll just confess. Centipede is a short-growing grass. It doesn't compete well with anything. It is the best grasses are weeds, and St. Augustine can be a good weed at times. But centipede is not a good weed. It just isn't a very strong weed in our climate, and so the other weeds outcompete it. St. Augustine, on the other hand, you can usually get St. Augustine to outcompete things like doveweed simply by raising your mower. And I know that sounds very simple. I'm not saying you're going to eliminate it all, because there could be some patches where the St. Augustine disappears for whatever reason, because the ground is too wet and the doveweed's going to love that little spot and it's going to come in that bare spot. But over most of the yard, you can keep it from spreading if you'll raise your mower height. Very important thing to do for a lot of weed control, probably the most important thing to do. And a lot of weeds like Mordania, like the doveweed, are coming into our yards because they stay too wet. In a summer like this one, that's going to be that's just an issue, because it's been a wet summer. It's been almost a continuously wet summer. In a normal period, when we have a few more dry out periods, we're not going to see as much of that Mordania. You're not going to see as much of the doveweed. If you irrigate constantly, if you have your irrigation system on three times a week, which is a bad thing from a lot of perspectives. If you have your irrigation system on your lawn on three times a week, I guarantee you you're going to have problems with Mordania and other things, because they respond to that excess moisture, to that constant moisture, much better than the grass does. So one of the keys is that if you're irrigating, turn your irrigation system, turn it on, get the yard good and wet, and then let it dry out if it's at all possible. It's very important. So just some thoughts about that. It's a new weed. It's a relatively new weed. It's a tropical weed that's come in. We're seeing it in lots of lawns now. Doveweed, Mordania. Looks like I'm going to be talking more about it. Tony, send me some pictures of that weed that was in your yard. Tony, down on Fowl River. We talked about Mordania last year. The plant that you showed me looked like something else. But if you see any flowers associated, you may have more than one weed in your yard there this year, Tony. So let's take a look at that. The okra. Maybe we should talk about some okra now. Billy Bob in Fairhope sent me a picture of his okra. It's leaning over. At least I don't need a stepladder to pick it now. And, yes, that is an advantage. You know, the okra will recover even if it's horizontal and often produce pretty well. It will actually send shoots straight up from the stem, and that's okay. One of the things you can do, and it's not too late to do it, is to ratoon. Isn't that the official – I think that's the official name of it, ratooning. Somebody who's a horticulturist to remember all these horticultural words can John Olive, if you're out there, isn't that the word? Ratooning is when you cut your okra back. Every year I have to tell the story of beating okra. Yeah. Beating okra. Yes, indeed, it is an old Southern tradition, beating okra. So when the okra became unproductive after a long season, it's weird. It sort of peters out after a while. It may be that you don't pick it enough, for whatever reason, it sort of begins to peter out. People would go through with a stick and just whack the okra, just beat it as hard as they could, break it all to pieces, tear it up as a way of sort of scolding it into producing it more. And, you know, it probably works. And it works for a lot of different reasons, but there's another way of doing it. For those of you with less of a violent nature, there is another way of doing it. You just have to be bold, and that is to cut it back, ratooning. And it's probably sometime, I couldn't bring myself to do it because my okra was producing so well, but sometime in mid-August, if your okra begins to decline, it's really good to start thinking about ratooning, and that means just cutting it back about halfway down to where you see some good stems coming back, maybe about waist high, okay? Let it branch out, and those branches coming from the base, let them develop. Give them a little extra fertilizer, not much, because okra doesn't like a lot of fertilizer, just a little bit extra boost if they look like they're not doing so well. Those new stems will be much healthier, and they'll produce again. And by late September, October, you should be getting plenty of okra again. One way to deal with your okra. But, you know, if it's leaned over horizontally, you know, a lot of my okra got laid over, just laid over by the storm. And so what was my decision? Some of it looked healthy. Some of it I cut back. I just cut it back. It was not producing that well, so I went ahead and ratooned it. There were some others that were actually looking really good, and they had some really tall stalks, and the tall stalks still had okra on them. But they also had lower branches, and what I did was I took out the middle stalk and left the lower branches because they were looking good. They were beginning to produce okra. And what happens is once you took the weight off the plant begins to upright itself very well. So you take the weight off by taking off the longest stem, right? See what I'm saying? And often it's in the middle, yes. and there it goes. So a good way of thinking about that. Yeah, Greg. So back to some computations on that Celsius. $14 an ounce was Greg's calculation. $14 an ounce for Celsius. You know, it doesn't take a lot of ounces, but the cost of it goes up pretty high. And you've got to have the right equipment. You got to measure it really precisely, and it can be. And you've got to apply it very, very precisely. So, you know, these things are tricky. These things are tricky. That's why I often talk about here are ways you can do your lawn so that you don't have the weeds be such a problem. A lawn without weeds is probably an unhealthy lawn. I'll just also say that. It's not a problem to have a few weeds. It's okay. It probably actually makes the lawn better in the long run. Rusty's asking me, Rusty, did you ask me this yesterday, last week, and I didn't answer it, but I'm going to answer it right now, Rusty. Will St. Augustine overtake Torpedo Grass? And I'm going to tell you, if it's in a place that Torpedo Grass is happy, where Torpedo Grass is growing in plenty of water and full sun, as you say it is, Rusty, over there in Moss Point, no. Torpedo Grass is one mean, brutal grass. It loves moisture. It can take advantage of moisture much better than St. Augustine can. It can be very hard. It can be very hard. Keep mowing your St. Augustine in a way to maximize the height to maximize the health of the St. Augustine as high as you can. It's going to lose out on the edges, particularly in the wet edges. And I don't think there's an easy way. Well, Rusty, I'm going to say I don't think there is a way to prevent that Torpedo Grass from becoming a problem, given that it's a wet spot. You can call me and we can talk a little bit more about it, but it's a tough situation there. Beautiful song. Let's sit and listen.
I'm going home to see my mother. I'm going home no more to roam. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way's rough and steep. The golden fields lie just before me, where the redeemed shall ever sleep. I'm going home to see my mother.
Double rebates. That's right, double rebates. Up to $400 off. Now available at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes on all Liberty Colonial models and up. Unbelievable savings on clearance models with instant cash rebates, free accessories, up to $150, free ground floor delivery up to 50 miles, and 0% interest with approved credit. Now is the time to save on a Liberty Safe at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. The best and largest selection of safes on the Gulf Coast. Own peace of mind. Own a Liberty Safe from Mike Ward's. That's exit 5B Moffitt and I-65 in Mobile. Just look for the giant Liberty Safe.
Attention gardeners, A. Bloom Garden Center's new selection of organic and heirloom seeds are in. What a great selection of vegetable, herb, and flower seeds, perfect for our Gulf Coast fall planting season. Fresh seeds for sprouts, baby greens, and microgreens are also available now. Shop local at A. Bloom Garden Center, located at 116 Albertson Road in West Mobile, near Schillinger and Old Shell. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. A. Bloom, improving your outdoor living.
Since the dawn of time, mankind has sought enlightenment, yearned to know if the earth was round, how fire worked, and why apples fell to the ground. The cave house and quill pen are gone, replaced by three-bedroom homes and cell phones, but we're still curious. That's why a great local newspaper is so important. Lagniappe Weekly is the Mobile area's newspaper, with the stories nobody has the guts or knowledge to report. Lagniappe gets to the bottom of things, providing top-notch journalism every great city deserves. No simple one-inch deep stories here, plus we're locally owned too. 30,000 papers, more than 1,200 distribution locations, and an increased circulation this year to reach even more readers in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Lagniappe, the paper that breaks the big stories with tough, thorough reporting, plus the area's best commentary, cuisine, arts, sports, and business coverage. Pick up your copy at grocery stores, businesses, drugstores, in our iconic hideous pink or regal purple boxes. In the mail for just $1 a week and online at lagniappemobile.com. Lagniappe, something extra for Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back, Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Gosh, what have we not talked about this morning? A lot of different things. seeing pictures now of some of the damage from the storm, which was pretty minor, but lots of limbs coming down, and that's okay. One of the things I wanted to emphasize is if you've got a tree that's leaning, give us a call and let's talk about it this morning. Those leaning trees, when they're young, sometimes simply propping them up won't deal with the damage that has occurred to those trees. If you have a longleaf, which is what we had in one of our pictures this morning, those longleaf, they're going to be fine. They got a little bit blown over, but that's all right. They're going to be just fine. One thing I would say about those trees is make sure they don't have to compete with the grass. Remove the grass in an area as far from around that tree as possible to encourage the roots to develop really well in the soil around the tree. That's pretty important. Remove that grass. But be careful about propping up a tree, because what's happened is the roots are damaged on one side. They're probably broken off. That means they're probably gonna have a problem. They may not even repair themselves very well in many cases. And sometimes where they're broken off, depending on the type of tree, you might develop rot. And that means those roots never develop properly. And that means when that tree gets bigger and there's a bigger storm, just a little bigger storm, there's no roots on one side of the tree, and that means it's going to be more vulnerable than it would be, and it means it's going to blow over again, except it's going to be bigger this time. Boom. All right. Just something to think about. Something to think about when you're looking at these trees and how to deal with it. Charlie has asked me a question, because we talked a little bit about herbicides, Do I use herbicides? I have used herbicides before. I use really only one herbicide because it's the herbicide that I trust the most, which is not to say that I trust it entirely, but I think it's probably safer than most. And you're going to be surprised, perhaps, because you've been listening to the news lately, when I say it's Roundup. There is evidence with Roundup, as there are with many chemicals, that in fact it can cause problems. The reason why Roundup is in the news so much is because we're using so dadgum much of it on every place in every way that we should. It's just insane. Listen, I don't want to eat a crop that is grown with Roundup sprayed over it, and yet. Here's the truth. A lot of the grain, but it's the truth. If you're eating cornbread, I can just about guarantee you that corn had Roundup sprayed over it while the corn was growing. And they have tried to modify a lot of those corns so that they are not susceptible to the Roundup. And the weeds are, but you know what? The Roundup residual is still there. We don't know what the effect of that is. They're spraying a bunch around. That is a big problem. It's a big issue and something we have to think about. On a little dose, what happens with a little dose? And I've argued with some of my friends who are very adamant about never using Roundup. And I'm saying the other things you're using are so much worse. I mean, atrazine, unbelievable that it's so much worse. It's just, you know, we're not using atrazine as much on certain types of fields. And for some reason, Roundup got to be the big deal because of people were opposed to genetic engineering and other things. And somehow the Roundup became the focus. But really, atrazine, dicamba, all of these, 2,4-D, those, we know there is a much bigger history of problems with those herbicides. And so once we move away, it's ironic because we're going to move away from the Roundup because of these lawsuits and because the weeds are becoming resistant to the Roundup because we're using it in crazy ways. And we're going to move to these other herbicides that worry me even more, that are much more serious. How do I compare the effects of Roundup? Here's the thing. I like to compare things to something like benzene. And benzene, we know, is carcinogenic. It's very toxic. It's very bad. It's really rough stuff. We have lots of evidence that benzene is a problem. Where do you expose yourself to benzene? You expose yourself to benzene every time you pump your gas. And we accept that. Say, oh, that can't hurt us. Well, you know, when you expose yourself to it every day, in the many ways that we expose ourselves to it, we don't worry about the little, you know, for a while they were making them come up with little seals around the things that you insert in your gas tank so that the fumes wouldn't get at you, and then the seals all peel off and people say, oh man, who cares? If you care about Roundup, I would care even more about benzene every time you poured that gasoline into your lawnmower gas tank. So that's the context, and it is a serious threat. It is a serious threat, benzene is. We know it is. And Roundup's a serious threat. Be careful when you use these things. I think they can be used judiciously and smartly, but be careful. Don't slather Roundup on your hands.
Yeah, and then wash your hands. Should you wear a mask?
You know, for application purposes, this is the funny part. If you will read the label of every herbicide you use,
yep,
every herbicide you use, they require a suit. That is, and they if you wear a special suit that you do not mix with other clothes when you wash it separately, and they require a respirator.
Okay,
and gloves.
To do the weeds in your driveway, can you wear a long-sleeve shirt and rubber gloves?
It certainly helps. Yeah. And I would say it certainly helps to do the weeds in your driveway with Roundup. I would definitely recommend wearing gloves and probably rubber gloves. Because cotton gloves will just absorb it, and some old clothes and a long sleeve shirt, but be careful. Don't spray when the wind is blowing. Be very careful not to use it. If you use, and I would say, you know, don't use Roundup indiscriminately. Use it once a year, twice a year at most, in spots. Just in spots where you really need it. We can talk about where that is. Yeah, and Greg says, you know, and all that ends up in your water table. I don't think as much Roundup ends up in your water table as some of these other things, like atrazine. We know that's a big problem, Greg. It is a big problem. Hey, folks, give us a call when you get a chance.
If it keeps on raining, Levy's gonna break. If it keeps on raining,